I'm John Wilson. Welcome to Owned and Operated. Twice a week, we talk about home service businesses. And if you're a home service entrepreneur, then this is going to be the show for you. We talk about our own business in residential plumbing, HVAC, and electric. And we also talk about business models that we just find interesting. Let's get into it. If you like what we talk about on our social media, on Twitter, on this podcast, then you should be signed up for our newsletter. Go to ownedandoperated.com, where every Friday we break down our business, we break down insights, things we're learning, things we're working on, and it's good stuff. Check it out, ownedandoperated.com. Today on Owned and Operated, Jack and I talk about the buy versus build conversation. Comes up a lot. I think about it a lot because I always think it would be easier to build. Whether or not I'm right, I don't know. But we spend a pretty good amount of time diving into that and when people should be thinking about buying versus building. Enjoy. Welcome.
Welcome back to Owned and Operated. It's a throwback. Throwback. I like that.
That's OG. You'd be a long time listener for that one.
If you are watching, you're seeing history in the making. John's first podcast out of his new studio.
Thank you.
Bow, bow, bow. Play the vuvuzelas or whatever they play.
Bow, 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 bow.
Bow, 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 bow. Yeah. And me out of my new studio,
yeah,
which is actually just our storage room that we're converting into a studio. So we'll get there. Milwaukee above me. I told you I'm going to shout it out. Milwaukee, if anybody knows Milwaukee that wants to sponsor me personally or the show, but mostly just me if they want to give me tools to talk about how great they are, I am 100% down.
Yeah, I really should have done something with that before we bought like 100 packouts.
Right?
And I didn't. So here we are. Yeah,
that's a good point.
So we're in our first day in the studio. We've had the studio set up for like a few weeks now. This is my first day recording in it. And what's been kind of fun is we're trying to use the studio to record like a lot more than just owned and operated stuff. We want to use it for our core business. So like this morning, we had people recording voiceovers for our next radio ad, which was kind of fun. Because this is like a professional grade studio that we're able to record our own voice. So because we're wanting to use it for voiceover socials, radio, some voiceover TV, basically anything that we use vocals on. It should be a lot of fun.
We've talked about it before, but I think that behind every home service company moving forward into the future is going to have some kind of media arm, right? Mm-hmm. Just from a standpoint of Google ads, Facebook ads, TikTok ads, like just the advertising side, and then getting your name out there over and over again so people know who you are, branding, and being able to do that is going to be huge. So I'm excited to see what the output of the studio. It looks good for anyone not watching. It looks good. It's clean.
Looks good. Navy walls. I'm surrounded by lights. We're recording on a computer right now, but for like for our YouTube clips, it's just cameras. So like, hey, it's very weird because I'm like, instead of talking to Jack, I'm talking to like a camera. So new experience for me.
Yeah, man. So how's the rest of your week going? We're moving into April.
Dude,
Q1's done.
Q1's done. Q1 is done. We had like an okay Q1. Like I talked about that last week. Good. April immediately starting off better. Like literally everyone feels better. Leads are flowing. So everything is going better now that we're in April. How about you? How's your week?
All right. So this week has been fun. So we're feeling the effects of slamming those two businesses together. And so it's not a lead issue for the first time. It's one, not having enough people, like two $1.3 million businesses or two $1.5 million businesses that now equal a $3 million business. It's not a one for one anymore, right? And so you don't just have one CSR each. You probably move up to three CSRs. So one plus one equals three. And so we're dealing with those systems breaking in real time. And it has been a nightmare, not a bad one, but definite growing pains. So we have plenty of work. It's coming out our ears and it's getting everyone onto Service Titan, getting everyone trained up on Service Titan. And then on the back end, it's, hey, the model of our business has changed because of this. How do we handle it? And I mean, it's been tough. We've been putting in some long hours trying to figure these problems out.
Yeah. I remember maybe October, November, I think it's recorded too. Of you were like, hey, I think I'm going to buy these businesses. I was like, hey, you know what you should do? You should get a recruiter.
Yeah, 100%.
Was it me? I don't know. Like, you know, I know.
Yes, John. If you want to hear that you were right.
It's okay. We both knew it.
Well, and so part of that was actually we didn't even go with the business that was the hour away. Like, we didn't take that deal. And so the wild part is if I would have done that deal, like, these problems would have been 10 times worse just because I'm not distance, on site. The distance. And so, like, I took your advice on that and we still had the issue. And so our next non-revenue generating hire will be HR recruiter full time. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Big moves. But yeah, you can really see the pain when you're trying to onboard 8 people and trying to get them all into healthcare and then get them on, like, there's the HR side. And then from the recruiter side, it's like, hey, well, we let go of one because it wasn't a good fit. And 1 + 1 = 3 on this call center. So now we need a new call center. We changed the model of the business to a sales and service model or service install model. And so, like, all these pieces are moving so quickly that it's very difficult to keep it on track. We've just been causing headaches. So with that, the idea today was you've bought businesses. I bought businesses. Buy versus build. In today's market, today's age, interest rates being what they are, the state of the United States being what it is, would you buy or build if you were brand new, knowing what you know now, but without the capital?
Yeah. So we got where we are with a combination of acquisitions and operations. Like, I think we're a pretty decent blend between the two. Like, it's dependent on the year.
It's a hard question.
It is a hard question.
Somebody asked me about it the other day, and I'm bringing it up now. I'll start so you can chew on it.
Okay.
There's actually no, yes, you can buy some of the systems, but there's really no avoiding the build. Like, so you could start from scratch and go to 1 million. So the real question is, would you buy a $1 million company or would you grind to $1 million on a new company? Because if you try to compare, like, a $3 or $4 or $5 million company buying it and starting up, then it's a different, like, it's just not, I don't think it's a fair question. Because if you can buy a $1 million, $15, $20, $30 million company, buy the $30 million company. Like, don't start one up. In my mind. But if it was buying to $1 million or grinding to $1 million, which one would you do?
I think I would buy. If it's that option, I think I would buy. Just because, like, you can do it overnight. Whereas, like, why wait a year? I don't know. But I do think you said it differently, which is, like, you don't get around the build, which I agree. And how about I walk backwards? So about a year ago, younger John, he was a whippersnapper. Had his ankles out. So about a year ago, we found ourselves mostly digested with the acquisitions we made in 2021. And we combined all these businesses into one location. Obviously, we've talked a lot about that here. And we kept finding that we didn't know basic things. And I would say that's still the case. So we're still figuring it, like, we're still finding ourselves in, like, some very basic stuff, like how we think about this thing on pricing, or how we think about this thing on warehouse inventory and, like, whatever it is. And I think a lot of the reason, like, it's stuff that I've talked to businesses, like, you have stuff figured out, and other people in this group that we have things figured out at smaller sizes than us while we're figuring it out in tandem with them, or, like, a few months ahead of, like, not dramatically. Now, granted, us figuring out how to do 101 stuff at our size is exponential. So, like, the ripples of that are, like, way bigger, which is cool. But maybe the best version of this is outbound calling. Outbound calling was not something we did or had a good practice built around until 5 months ago. And now we're really good at it. We have drove, like, expertise, and it helped a lot. And if we had built our way up, we would have known how to do that better. And our quarter ones for the last 8 years would have been easier, but we didn't. But now that we're so big, we can afford to do it easier. So I don't know. It's a catch 22, because sometimes we think about this basic 101 stuff that we're just now starting, or maybe not 101, but, like, step two stuff that we're just figuring out. And the ripple on the business is absolutely huge. And it's like, man, we really should have known this 5 years ago. And the only reason we didn't know it is because we bought our way up to, like, 15 million. And then we just pumped past 15 million without like figuring out best in class operations, which is what we're focusing on now.
It's funny you say that, because that's actually my GM and I had a long discussion today about that exact thing. It was, hey, we're realizing we're missing on the basics. And even at, we're expecting like 4 to 5 million this year with our growth and combination, like that's our goal. But the point being is like the same thing is he said, hey, we're missing on a few of these like basic 101 items.
Yep.
And we need to make sure that we're hitting back like call center 101 and ops 101 and dispatch 101. It's wild how, right, before all those 101 things were handled. But then when you take that giant leap, it breaks all the systems and you get away from those to try and make up for like, it's a crutch. And then you have to get back to the 101 or step two in your case to really start driving. Because especially, right, you just slammed two businesses together, in your case, a few more. I think probably the least of your worries initially is outbounding, right?
You're trying to keep the trades on the rails. Yeah, 100%. You're trying to make sure turnover is not bad. You're trying to make sure they're on the software. You're trying to keep customers.
Yep.
Like it takes like 2 years to integrate a business. And it takes a long time.
Yeah, especially when you make moderately large changes to that business structure. Yeah. Like you talk a lot about shutting down the electrical new construction side to a business. Like that is a big move that takes a long time to recover from and restructure the business internally. And I took something to heart the other day. Said, who, not how, who, not how. And it's a good point, because when you're looking at these things, yes, I can do a lot of them. My bandwidth is like moderated in the sense that I don't have the time. And so it's finding the right person to go into that place and do it.
Yeah.
Then with that, what we're dealing with at the moment is trying not to overhire too, because it's really easy to just like, so we need this going into the summer, and then end of summer comes and we're like, ooh, we're going to have to cut all this, because that's never fun.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I think this was a conversation, and the phrase that I said at the time was bloat then optimize. And I think I still basically believe that of like things take longer to drive through the organization now than they did 5 years ago, but there's more resources to do things. So just like our last episode, we were talking about like, hey, if I want to hire someone best in class, I can. I probably could have 3-4 years ago. I just didn't think I could, or didn't think I should. Like I don't, it's hard to say because I wasn't in the mindset at the time, but I do think like I would not change how we did things. I might've changed some of the target acquisitions, but I think being able to like start figuring stuff out at the size that we started figuring stuff out worked for us. But it is a risky play. Like there's a lot of people that this doesn't work for, because you have to like, you're building a plane while you're flying. And there's a lot, every day, there's a lot of ways you can mess it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. I think like if I was starting from scratch and there was no money, like I guess I would launch, because that was the initial prompt. Because if there's no money, like, what else are you going to do?
If you say, right, like the same amount, it's not going to be a huge amount, but $50,000, $80,000 will buy you on an SBA 7A. It'll buy you a $1 million company, hypothetically, in the home services industry. And so you could also take that $50,000, buy a truck, buy the tools, and maybe hire somebody for the first month, put some money in marketing.
Yeah, I think launching sounds interesting. Like as an experiment a year ago. Or 2 years ago, I was like, you know, it'd be like, Johnny Robinson did this. He built that thing and then handed it to his mom. And I was like, we should do that. We should just create the content and like launch something, figure it out for 90 days or a year. Can we get it to a million? Document the progress and then sell it off or hand it off to somebody. Or like, ideally that person's like an operating partner from the beginning, but because I feel like you could.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing, though, is for us, we'd have to do it completely outside of our normal kind of home service industry. Because my worry, or what I try to compare this to, right, is we started up that plumbing division, which was pure startup, right?
Yeah.
But we had revenue that was paying off ServiceTitan. We had revenue that was able to buy the tools that we needed.
Customers, and we had call takers,
And we had a call takers, and we had a truck. And we like, we had everything, the resources, because we had the size we did. Had we not had that, that would have been a different story. And so completely understand that it's not the same, but from like a difficulty and grind perspective, like there was still a decent amount of grind with all that leg up. So I lean towards the just buy, because that's what I did. I bought a company that was too big, but or too expensive for the size. But if you were to mitigate price the correct way that I should have to get in, I think that's the way I would lean. That would be my do different.
Yeah, I think I agree. Like I said a couple minutes ago, I would not change the direction that we did it. I understand launching, as in like, I understand why that's attractive. There's no debt. And by the time you locate a target, you could have launched already 6-7 months ago, which would, like, for many of these companies, like people are buying sub-million-dollar company, like you might as well potentially just launch at that size. I think that size is a little bit like, from my take, if it's $1 million or less of sales, that's a very real argument of like, you could just produce, you could recreate that business in a few months.
You could definitely recreate the business in a year. 100%.
Yeah. So like, but if you're talking about a $10 million business or even a 3 or 4, I think it's a more of a decision of like, okay, this is going to shortcut 3 years or 2 years of time if I buy this $3 million business. But if it's $1 million, like buying it's not going to shortcut that much time. You could launch that. Yeah, that is very replicatable.
Yeah, early on, I didn't realize that. And I beat myself up quite heavily over that. Now, I mean, it's irrelevant because this is the path that I've taken. So it doesn't matter how much I wish I would have done. But I did realize that at one point, probably around the end of year one, was that I could have recreated this business probably with a little bit less headache. Different issues, but less headache overall by building it, though I think it would have inevitably been slower to get my second and third acquisition. So this give and take of what that would have, of speed. Yeah.
That, it depends, like, what's the game you're playing? So like, if you're happy with 5 to 10 million and that's like where you want to end, and that's a great life for you and your family, then like, you don't really need to be. Or maybe you can race there and just chill, just have a different goal.
Yeah, we haven't talked about too is the skill set that you need, right? The skill set that you need to, when you buy at 1 million is different than the skill set you need when you build to 1 million. So when you're building to 1 million, I would say that you probably should at least have the skill set to be able to do the task that your business does, right? If it's pest control, have your pest control license. Maybe have worked in a pest control company.
Yeah.
Versus if you're going to buy a $1 to $2 million pest control company, you can probably squeak by with not ever running it or like ever running a call.
Yeah. I think I agree. I do think what would be fun, I'm convinced that all of this ends in a franchise. I'm just convinced. Owned and operated.
That's why we keep bringing franchisees
plumbing
on.
Plumbing franchise. Yeah. Hey guys, if you want a plumbing franchise, LMK, DM me. But I do think, who was it? One Tom Plumbing? Like, their thing is that they'll get you to 2 million in 2 years. That makes sense. And like $2 million, man, that's good. Like Ulrich can probably take 100 out of that and just slow grow from there on out. And like, that sounds like a big win.
That's the cool part too, is like for anyone listening out there, who's kind of wondering what the net and what that looks like. If you were to be in your business every day, not hiring management, not doing hyper growth. I mean, a $2-4 million business, it offshoots enough money that you can live extremely comfortably.
Yeah. 100%.
You're looking at 10 to 20% net after paying yourself.
Yeah.
And so if you're not redirecting all of that back into the business, it's a pretty little pot that you can buy your second house on and ride off into the sunset. So I know we talk a lot about here hyper growth and like these building these monstrosities. They're definitely painful. There is a path that you grow to 1 million. The old owner of my company, I hope he's listening to this. He played video games all day. I shit you not. Played video games, had two techs running, and lived in a 4,000 square foot home that he rented for $3,800 a month.
That's
like,
funny.
And he had like a brand new lifted truck. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a GMC or Ford or something. But like decked out, and like he lived a nice life. Like he lived in an upscale, upper middle class neighborhood. Played video games all day long, had two technicians, all the vans were paid off. Like there's just enough out of there that enough 1 million that he's netting $200,000-$300,000 and living his dream.
Yeah, I've shared here. I struggle to conceptualize, but that doesn't mean that I'm right. I just like personally have always wanted to build something big, and optimizing for lifestyle doesn't interest me that much, but I know that I'm in the minority. So that's okay.
This episode is sponsored by Home Service Engine. So this is a company that I would highly recommend if you are thinking about getting onto ServiceTitan, or if you're like me and you have to rebuild your ServiceTitan every few months because you set it up incorrectly. So this is my go-to team for any ServiceTitan needs, and I really wish I had them from the start. Give them a call today and start utilizing ServiceTitan to its fullest potential. What I've been chewing on with you particularly is when you optimize for lifestyle, though, does that potentially, is that like the death note for your business?
I mean, I think you run the real risk. So I'll give you a couple examples. So how far do you optimize for lifestyle? Like, do you bleed that company dry? Because I think you're just trading one stress for the other. Is my work-life balance what I want it to be? No, probably not. Do I wish I had less stress at work? Sure. Yeah, I got problems. But I think if you don't have a business that constantly creates opportunity for your team, you lose your team. There's nowhere for them to go. And that sucks. So like, you're trading one stress for the other. Like, the people that I know that usually get driven, like, I know people who ran lifestyle businesses for a long time, and eventually they were like, I can't do this anymore. Like, yes, I'm making a lot of money, but like, my work stress is so great because I can't hold on to anyone. And like, I want to be playing video games all day or whatever, but then I have to go fix stuff because I can't hold on to techs.
Yeah.
Because there's upward trajectory. That doesn't sound like a fun problem to me.
No, definitely not. And I know that makes sense. And so that's kind of what I was getting at is, I assume there's a world where somebody is running a purely lifestyle business, bleeds the company. He's able to, or she's able
to. I know a lot of guys doing it.
Keep their people in place for 10, 15 years, and then they retire and ride off into the sunset. They sell it and take a little chunk of money and go. Like, I think at that point, the business is dead, though. Because once that person leaves or takes any bit out more of the company, like in terms of time or money, then it just, they haven't been focusing on branding. They haven't been focusing on marketing. They might have a customer list of 2,000, 3,000, but at the end of the day, like, those customers are moving away slowly too. So that the list starts to dwindle, and I just can't see it being a long-term play.
I can't either. Like, most of the people that I know, it ends up in business closure or like really close. And it always seems to happen at 2 million. So at 2 million, 2 million is like a tough phase. I think we talk about that. It's like one of those plateaus where like, you have to bring on your first manager.
Yeah.
But what if you don't bring on your first manager? And the answer is, you cash flow a lot. So like, I know people with businesses at $2 to $3 million that have nicer cars than me, more cars than me, nicer house, boats, a lake house. And like, I'll do any of that.
Yeah.
But their business has been at 2 million since my business was at 2 million. Like, that business has not moved in 8 years. Whereas in that same time, we've gone from that size to our size.
Yeah, one of our acquisition targets right now, he has the truck and the boat. And you look at the truck and the boat and I go, ooh, you are prime for acquisition because...
You need money.
You need money. That's definitely tough.
Well, and because like, you, they bring on these lifestyle costs and the business doesn't grow at all because you're not reinvesting in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And, or you're limited reinvestment. I don't know. Maybe there's like a way where it does make sense. I've only seen it like, yes, I have my stress and I have my problems. I would prefer I can't grow this business and I have to because my boat payment is too much. So like, that does not sound
good. Yeah. And it's got to be industry related too. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some continuity, can't speak today, across business types. But I do have a buddy that I'm thinking of right now who owns three restaurants, and he has the boats, he has the cars, he has the house. And he's been just opening up one restaurant every couple of years in this market and has been doing decently well at it. And so I do see that it can work. But like, it really has to be a good business that's just pumping off extra money. But then again, the argument is he could probably have opened up six restaurants. So I guess it's how fast you want to grow too.
This is like capital allocation, man. What are you going to do with the cash flow that the business creates?
You can
reinvest it into property, plant, or equipment. Reinvest into hiring. Reinvest into marketing. You can declare a dividend. Pay down debt. There's only like 5 or 6 different ways you can spend cash. Then lifestyle is one. I just think it's a bad one. I'm trying not to be judgmental, but like,
I know.
Y'all, just reinvest. Always be reinvesting.
It's personal specific in how much your lifestyle costs. Yeah. I was going to ask you, like, is there a point where you can start pulling out of the business a significant amount more? But that depends if you want to grow a significant amount more or if you don't. And then what is your definition?
Or how big can you get it? Yeah, how big can you get it? Like, look, if you've got $5 million of EBITDA, then you dripping out a couple hundred grand doesn't matter. Like, pop off, do your thing. But if you're making 200 of EBITDA and you're pulling 180 of it, that's an issue. But yeah, I do think, like, when we start talking about seven figures of bottom line, and I think it should be percentage of profits that get pulled. So, like, how do you keep your burden to the company? Like, lifestyle's a burden. So how do you keep your drag on the business's cash to under 5% of profits or 10% of profits? And
that's a good one.
If that's $100,000 of profit, then, like, you should be reinvesting 90 and, like, make your personal drag 10. So, okay, what can I do with 10 grand? Probably not much, but that's probably a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 800 bucks a month. Go buy a boat for 800 bucks a month. I don't know. But, like, I think what happens is they get 100,000 and they spend 90. So they do it the opposite way. Like, my drag on the business this year will be 8% of profits, salary included.
I don't know what my drag is, to be honest with you. I haven't looked.
Worth figuring out, because then it helps you, like, figure out how much to reinvest so you can get to the next thing. Like, you want to get to 20. And then when you're at 20, you'll have 3 to 4 million of EBITDA. And, like, the series of decisions becomes a lot easier.
Right.
And go buy your lake house and go ski in Colorado.
That is a ski house. That's what really what
ski
it is.
Ski house. Yeah. I also need you to buy a ski house.
So yeah, right.
And not have to buy my own.
And not have to pay for it. Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds great, dude.
Oh, sweet, man. Well, that's good. So definitely it's not as clear cut. It sounds like the buy versus build. It does sound like you're building no matter what. But if you are planning on buying sub 1 million, there is a decent argument for grinding it out, building to 1 million and making sure that as you grow that business, keep your drag on the business low. You start making money, do not go out and spend that money like you got holes in your pockets.
Yeah.
Put it back in.
Yeah, dude.
Invest.
To give this, like, some more color, I paid myself under $60,000 until the business crossed $15 million a year. So, like, lifestyle is a drag.
Yeah, definitely.
And, like, we've grown. Our compounded annual growth rate is above 50% over the last 8 years. And, like, those two things are linked. We couldn't grow if I consumed all the cash.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't matter.
That makes sense.
Like, the business has grown 26 times. Like, who cares? Like, salary is no longer the thing that matters in my life.
Yeah. When did that point cross for you that salary was no longer, like, you didn't worry about it? Your personal burden was no longer an issue to the company's burden as long as you didn't go above and beyond what your salary was.
Yeah. About that 15 mark.
Oh, that's so far away.
Tell you, reinvest, bro.
Damn it. I was hoping you'd be like, it's 4 or 5, maybe 6 million, Jack. And I'd be like, okay.
There's always a better use of money than, like, my personal lifestyle. So, like, I just don't care about it. So, like, what can I do with 50 grand? Like, with 50 grand, like, that's higher. That's a marketing vertical. That's, like, almost anything that will actually create enterprise value. So maybe it's just, like, at some point you switch from cash flow to enterprise value, but, like, now enterprise value is the more interesting problem.
Yeah, it should be too, because, right, your enterprise value is significantly worth a lot more than
a boat.
Right, than the $80,000 boat or whatever. Interesting. I got to think on that. I'm not going to sleep tonight because of that.
Yeah, we got him.
Yeah. I'm like, what is my burden? Oh my gosh, I'm way too much. Go to my wife and be like, hey, so heads up, we're taking a pay cut this year. She's going to say, no, you're not.
So it's like, what do you cost the business? Not what do you make the business, but what do you cost the business?
Yep.
And that would be a decent way to think about this. And look, a lot of people don't want to think about it. And I get it. A lot of people want to, like, do the thing, pop off, all good. And I'm probably grew faster than you. So I don't know what to say.
Definitely. I'm doing the math right now on our expected net and what I get paid.
80% of profits.
Right? All right. 15% of profits.
All right.
Not terrible. A little bit high.
I don't know. I mean, people have to set their own number.
No, it's interesting. And the way you phrased it, though, it is a definitely interesting portion of that, too. It's, hey, what can I do with that money otherwise?
Well, this was a good one. If you liked what you heard, give us a 5-star wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. It helps other people find us. so that we can be popular on this small section of the internet. Make sure you check out ownedandoperated.com. We have another workshop coming up June 4th through the 6th. It's going to be dope. And make sure you sign up for the newsletter where we're constantly dropping bombs just like this. That's it. Tune in Thursday for the next one.
Awesome, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Owned and Operated, the podcast for home service entrepreneurs. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit the like button and subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover, feel free to reach out. You can find me on Twitter at Wilson Companies. I'll see you next time.